Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sabbath Services. This is number 3 in the washing of the water by the Word. Now, let's come to Ephesians 5, and let's see something very important. Let's see what all of this is to do, and how that the washing of the water by the Word, and we saw how the water is a type of the Holy Spirit, the Word is the Word of God, and how that by the washing of the water of the Word, we're going to see is one of the most important things in our changing and growing and overcoming and developing the mind of Christ and the character of God. So let's go to Ephesians 5 now, and let's read verse 1, because here is the whole of what God wants us to do, right here. What is the most pleasing to God is we love Him and serve Him and keep His commandments. What is the whole purpose of it, you see? What is the whole purpose of conversion? Right here, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Now, that's quite a goal, see. That also ties with Matthew 5:48, which is, be perfect as your Father who is in heaven is perfect, see. So, you look at this sinful body, and as long as we're in the flesh and we have the law of sin and death in us, it's a sinful body. And we're going to do things that aren't right. We'll have little bloopers, big bloopers, and some catastrophic bloopers, but we can recover from them. All right, now here, verse 2. Walk in love, even as Christ also loved us. And so then we go back and we think about what Christ did to give up being God to become a human being, so that he could save his creation. That's quite a thing. And that's what the Passover is all about, and we're coming closer to the Passover, like was mentioned earlier. We're 2 months from the Passover. Okay? And gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, then it warns, don't do certain things. Don't live like the world. Don't get involved in sexual promiscuity, etc. Okay? Now come down here to verse 24. Oh, verse 23. Oh, we have to go to verse 22. Sometimes these sentences of Paul are so long, especially the first chapter. The first chapter in Greek is almost one sentence. Now, he would flunk English classes, but it was perfect Greek. Okay. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And that would solve an awful lot of problems. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Okay. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. For even as the church is subject to Christ, in the same way also, let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Now, this is how we are all to be subject to Christ. The same thing. So everybody's under authority. See, God's not picking on women. Everybody's under authority. Verse 25. Yeah, we read that. Subject to him and everything. Husbands, love your own wives in the same way that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So there is the reciprocity, you see. Both are incomplete, and both need to come together, and both need to do what God wants them to do, likewise as we respond back to Christ. So that he might sanctify it. Now, sanctify it means to make it holy. Having cleansed it, that shows a process, with the washing of the water by the Word, And as we've been seeing, that's how then we get our minds converted and changed and actually spiritually reconstructed with the Word of God, the truth of God, the Spirit of God. And how then today we're going to see one of the things we need to do, as I have mentioned, but we'll see it a little bit more today, you need to have God erase the sins from your mind. You need to pray and ask God, God, with the washing of the water of the Word, cleanse my mind. Help me to get rid of these thoughts. Help me to overcome through the washing of the water by the Word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. That's what God wants. It's not a matter of overbearing. It's not a matter of authority in that particular sense. But it's a matter of all of this based on the love of God. And this then is how we come back to verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it might be holy and without blame. Now, that all involves prayer, repentance, changing our thinking, letting the Word of God being put in our mind. Now, let's see what else God does. This becomes very interesting as we put it together here. Okay, let's come to Jeremiah 11. Jeremiah 11. And let's pick it up here in verse 20. This shows how God operates all the time. Verse 20. But O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously and with mercy and with judgment and with love, with understanding, who tries the heart and the mind. Now here Jeremiah, because he was suffering so many things, and he was really going through it. You talk about one man against the world, that was Jeremiah. Let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I've committed my cause. So that's something, isn't it? Yes. Now let's see the same thing in Psalm 7. See the same thing there. And so all of this is an ongoing process. As we change, as we grow, as we repent, as we overcome, have our minds cleansed. Now there, God has made the mind so it can forget. But as I mentioned, we need to be like the Apostle Paul. He remembered the lesson, but didn't relive the past. Now, Psalm 7, let's pick it up here in verse 1. O Lord my God, in you I've taken refuge. Save me from all who pursue and deliver me. Quite a thing. Now, David had a lot of different problems here. These here was when he was being chased. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, ripping it into pieces, and there is no one to deliver. O Lord my God, if I had done this, whatever it was, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil to the one who was at peace with me, or if I have plundered my enemy without cause, then let the enemy pursue my soul and take it. So here he was bargaining with God. I don't know whether I would be willing to bargain with God quite that way. You know, David was a man after God's heart, so he could do that. You know, we all have enough to overcome. Yea, let him trample down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust, Selah. Arise, O Lord, in your anger, and lift up yourself against the rage of my enemies. That's also something to remember. Let God fight your battles for you. See? Just let them be. Now, there are certain things we need to do, But don't get in the middle of a battle. Turn them into God's hands. He'll take care of it. Because how many times you try and fight a situation and someone has done something and you get all involved in it and there's really nothing you can do about it, right? Okay. Put them in God's hands. And awake for me at the judgment which you have commanded. All right. Come down here to verse 8. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to your righteousness, according to my integrity within me. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous, for the righteous God tries the hearts and the reins of both those who are seeking God and those who are not. Now let's see how the Apostle Peter tells us how we are to cleanse. All of this is a cleansing. Cleansing of the heart, cleansing of the mind, changing the way that we think, changing our whole approach and everything that we do. Okay, 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 16. Let's go back to verse 14. Here again, it tells us what our relationship is with God is and what we need to be doing. As obedient children, do not conform yourselves to your former lusts, as you did in ignorance. But according as he who has called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct. Now, the only way that can be is by change of mind, by the washing of the water of the word. For it is written, be you holy because I am holy. Now then, here is a series of tremendous promises that go with this. And if you call upon the Father who judges righteously to every man's work without respect to persons, pass the time of your life's journey in the fear of God, knowing that you are not redeemed by corruptible things, by silver or gold, from your futile way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So you see, we have, with the word of God, God's Spirit, we have all the tools necessary to be perfected with the Spirit of God. Verse 20, who truly was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for your sakes, even for you who through him do believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope might be in God. That's where we're continually looking. Not to ourselves, not to our abilities, not to what we can do, though we have to put forth a maximum effort as we're led by the Holy Spirit of God. Having purified your lives by obedience to the truth unto unfeigned brotherly love through the Spirit, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So there's the whole formula right here expressed in a little different way by the Apostle Paul. So it's the cleansing of the heart, the sanctifying of us by the washing of the water by the word. All right, let's look at some of the things of cleansing and purifying and how that is. First of all, let's see from Matthew 23, let's see from there what God said to the Pharisees and the scribes. So it's not a matter of what you do on the outside. It's not a matter of what the impression is that people can look at you and see. That's fine. But what God is interested in is what's in here. What is in your heart? What is in your mind? How are you thinking? Matthew 23, verse 25. Here's what Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees. You read all of Matthew 23. That's a pretty heavy chapter. And it would be like going today to an assembly of rabbis or Catholic priests and pointing out all their sins in a very powerful way. He was not tactful. Verse 25, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And you know, in doing the research for, Lord, what should I do and why churches are falling apart, the number one thing was hypocrisy. The number one thing. Not a matter of a little fault, not a matter of something that was slightly misguided, but hypocrisy. They would say one thing and do another. Same way in politics. I came home the other day for lunch, and Dolores said, did you hear about this Republican that just resigned for adultery with a woman? He was just elected? And I said, no. Well, he was a hypocrite. He was married, pretended he wasn't, went online, worked out things to go with this woman. And I guess John Boehner took him into the office and said, resign. See, you can't be hypocritical in your behavior. Okay? Now notice, here's what the hypocrites do. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but within you are full of extortion and excess. Sound like a lot of people we know? Someone sent me an article, why is Bernie Madoff in prison? And then showed that what he did was nothing compared to what the Social Security dilemma is. Verse 26, blind Pharisees. Remember what he said when he healed a man who was born blind? And the Pharisees came and said, when they understood he was speaking to them, they said, are we blind? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would be without sin. But you say that we see, but you don't. Yes, indeed. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside. That's what the washing of the water of the word is, to cleanse inside. Cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, so that the outside may also become clean. Now notice, he tells them again here, verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but within are full of the bones of the dead and of all uncleanness. Likewise, you also outwardly appear to men to be righteous, but within you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And so that's the way that human nature is. We need to be changed from in, from within. What happens when you have a whole society that completely rejects the normal standards that God expects from the Ten Commandments? Well, we have the example of the flood. Everyone's imagination was evil only from his youth up. And think what we're doing to some of the youth today. I mean, we're putting them on these computer games at what, age 5? Some of them get so good that, you know, even their fathers can't compete against them. But most of those computer games are what? Very demonic. What does it do to the mind? What does it do to the mind when you watch evil, when you think evil, when you practice evil? Well, your mind has to be cleansed. And that's why we have the washing of the water of the word. Okay, let's see how we get cleansed. All right, let's go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. As I mentioned, the book of Proverbs is really a good study for getting things reoriented in your mind, because it talks about right and wrong, good and evil, and how you then can, in your thinking, be able to make judgments concerning things so that you're not getting yourself in trouble and you're not living the way or contrary to the Word of God. Okay? Proverbs 26, and let's pick it up here in verse 24. Now you see, here's part of the thing of the inward mind must be changed. Verse 24. He who hates and disguises it with his lips stores up deceit within himself. You build deceit. Because why? When you do that with hatred, okay, and we'll talk about different things we need to overcome. When people do that with hatred, you justify yourself that you are right and you're building up deceit within. When he makes his voice gracious, do not believe him. He's talking of a con man right here. For seven hateful things are in his heart. He whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be revealed before the congregation. In other words, it will come out. Now, let's come over here to Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Now, this is why there's repentance, there's confession, and there is the cleansing of the mind. Okay? Let's go back here to verse 12. Proverbs 28 and verse 12. When the righteous triumph, there is great glory. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. He who covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Okay, let's continue on. Now, let's ask the question, how do you establish your thoughts? How do you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, as we're told we are to do? Okay. How do we let the washing of the water of the Word change us within and overcome these things? And since we're here in Proverbs, let's come to Proverbs 16. Now, what we need to do when we're reading this, we need to think about the Holy Spirit, the use of the Holy Spirit, how we do this, how our minds work, what we need to do, and think about the things that still are problems in your life. And of course, we're always going to have problems as long as we're in the flesh, so none of us are without problems. Okay? Proverbs 16. Think about that, and then pray about it, okay? Now, we're going to talk about some of the things that get people down and things that get stuck in their craw and things that they have a hard time letting go. So here's the basic approach we need to take, okay? Preparations of the heart, verse 1, in man, and the answer of the tongue are from God. So he's given us the ability to do that. Now here is the problem with a carnal, deceitful mind. This is why we need the Spirit of truth to lead us, why we need the Word of truth to guide us, and why we need the cleansing by the washing of the water of the Word. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Everyone thinks he's right. Now, we have the smoker's paradise down below here where we meet. And every once in a while, I see people going in. I see young, healthy people going in, coming out. And if you would have walked up to them and said, "Don't you know that this is going to kill me?" "Oh, well, I've been smoking 3 years and I don't have cancer." You know? And then You watch the old people go in, and it's quite amazing. You can tell that they have been smoking for years, but they got to go in, they got to get their fix with the cigarettes, you see. And the difference between the youth going in and the older people going in who've been smoking for years is dramatic. The youth, they look vibrant and young, no wrinkles, no gray hair. I didn't get my white hair from smoking, so please, okay. That just came upon me gradually for 50 years. Okay. But even if they're slumped over, coughing, and you can tell that they're short of breath, you know, and I don't know if you've ever seen someone die from emphysema. It's a terrible, terrible thing. But one day, they were young, like the young ones going into the store, smoker's paradise. But now, look at them. See? It's a terrible situation. Now, I remember going to visit someone in the hospital who had lung cancer, and they had to put a tracheotomy here, and they just couldn't quit smoking. Just could not quit smoking. And so they would take the cigarette, stick it in the tracheotomy, and light it, and smoke. You see? That's the end of the smoker's paradise. That's their paradise. See? And I know that, I remember one time someone described to me what a smoker's lungs look like. And you see, the lungs are very delicate, very delicate. Now, they can repair, they can heal if you catch it in time. But there are like little, oh, I don't know how to describe it, but they clean the air, they take in oxygen, release carbon dioxide, and all of this is necessary for your health. So if you don't smoke, you're going to be fine. You won't get any of the diseases that they get from smoking. But now you have something even worse, marijuana. And that THC not only goes into the lungs, it goes into the mind, and it messes up the mind sometimes permanently because it affects the synapse between the nerves where the electricity of your brain is supposed to cross from cell to cell, and they burn them up, sometimes permanently. Now, other times, they can recover from it. See, but every way of a man is clean in his own eyes. You think you're right. You can use many examples. What about the kamikaze pilots? They were right in doing what they were doing. What about those who commit murder? They always have an excuse as to why they did it. I remember watching the case of one man. He killed his wife and three children, planned the whole thing, disappeared. They couldn't find him. He changed his name. He was supposed to be a churchgoer and all of this sort of thing. And he killed them so they could go to heaven immediately. So he knew he was right. So he had absolutely no remorse. He moved from the East Coast to Colorado, and they finally caught him. What's this one that they have?
The most wanted,
yeah. And what they did, they're able from his picture to make reconstruct his whole face and head, what he would look like at his age. And they put that out on the most wanted, and they got a lot of calls, and one of them was right on. And here the man went out there, reestablished his life, going to church, married again. Every way of a man is clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Now here's the key, verse 3. This is the key. You having trouble overcoming, having trouble getting rid of evil thoughts, or bitterness, or guilt, or worry, or resentment. Verse 3, commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Now there it is. See, that is the key to the washing of the water by the word. See, commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. So what you do is you take this verse, when you're praying, you get on your knees and say, oh God, I need your help. Please help me to establish my thoughts. Commit your works to him, your thoughts to him, you see. There it is right there. Now, let's see how this works as described in the New Testament. Let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians 10. Now, we have our part to do. God has his part to do. We have the effort that we have to put forth. God gives us of his Spirit and his word. And this is why you have heard it said how many times? Prayer and study, right? Yes, indeed. That's how it works. See? Now, let's pick it up here in verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10. See, now, as long as we're in the flesh, we have things to overcome, and this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And we have thoughts that need to be washed, changed, overcome, and replaced. And when we do that, then our works will be established, committed to God, and then our thoughts will also be established. Verse 3. For although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, it's simple this way. You cannot overcome human nature with human nature. You may be able to make some adjustments where you don't do quite as bad as you used to do, but you never can overcome human nature with human nature. It takes the Spirit of God. For the weapons of our warfare, because our warfare is what? Against Satan, the devil, and against human nature, correct? Are not carnal. That is, they're not physical. But mighty through God, see? The strength comes from God to the overthrowing of strongholds. And some of the things in the mind are strongholds that really have to be overcome. I can't imagine what it would be like for, say, someone who was a Catholic priest and gave the Mass for how many years? He'd have a lot to overcome. But even that can be overcome. Look at what the Apostle Paul had to overcome. Okay? Mighty through God to the overthrowing of strongholds. And the strongest hold that is on us is our carnal mind. Casting down imaginations, because it's all in the mind, is it not? And how many battles and difficulties do we go through in our minds that are what? Imaginations. Shadow boxing, mental boxing, thinking through different things, reliving them, laying awake at night, daydreaming, whatever. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that's what happens. Sin is there to exalt itself against God. And bringing into captivity, showing we must have the control. And this doesn't come easy. This comes through the washing of the water of the word. And bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Showing a lifelong process. Okay? And having a readiness to avenge all disobedience whenever your obedience has been fulfilled. See, so there's the formula for the washing of the water of the word. Now, let's look at some other scriptures that we need to look at to see then how we can do it in a practical way. Okay? Let's come back to the book of Proverbs. Come back here where we were, Proverbs 16. Okay, Proverbs 16 and verse 17. Here's how we do it. Now, while we're turning there, let me tell you one that Job said that he had, that he did. When he was accused, well, Job, you know, you're not telling us the truth. You're probably out there, you know, committing adultery or something like that. Looking at the beautiful women, something like that. And he said, no, I don't do that. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. In other words, he made a covenant with himself to turn away from viewing evil. Okay? Now that's what we have to do. Now what if it surprises you on the television? Well, if you have a remote, hit the button. Okay? Now verse 17. The way of the upright is to turn away from evil. Turn away from it. Where do you turn away from it first? In the mind. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. That's a great proverb there. All right, let's come to Proverbs 21 and verse 2. Okay, now here's how God works with us. 21 and verse 2, again, showing the way that man's heart is. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts. Verse 3, to do righteousness and justice is more pleasing to God than sacrifice. So there it is. Okay. Now let's come to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. See, because conversion, retaining the Holy Spirit, growing in grace and knowledge are all the substance and the things of overcoming. And today we've got a lot of distractions going on. So we need to be able to know how to fight against that. Let's go ahead and take a little break, and then we'll come back to Proverbs 4 when we get back. Now let's continue on with Proverbs, the fourth chapter, Proverbs 4. And let's pick it up here, beginning in verse 20. Now this is a central key combined with the other scriptures there in Proverbs 16. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Okay. Combine that with 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Combine that with the washing of the water by the word, and combine that with having the commandments and laws written in our hearts and in our minds. And it actually changes our brains physically. They know that thinking builds the brain, and your brain still is growing. If you don't have things like Alzheimer's, it's still growing and in use by actively using your brain until very, very old age. They have this one ad. It shows this librarian. Remember the ad of the librarian? And she's in England, and she's a very fastidious gal, and she rides her bicycle going to work. And when she's going down the street, it shows her going down the street with some books in the basket on her bicycle. And when she's making a left-hand turn, she puts her hand out like that. And it shows that she was very fastidious, really took care of herself. But as she got older and older, she improved even more, see? And she was able to do things even like hang gliding, wow, you know, and tennis and things like this. But the whole thrust of it is that if you keep your mind active and you keep doing, then, and you live right, your body and your mind are going to respond. Mm-hmm. See? Okay, so here we have it right here, Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. There you can put Hebrews 10:16, writing in our hearts and in our minds. Okay. Now here's what it is. This works together with the Holy Spirit of God, which is called what? The Spirit of life. The Spirit of truth. Okay. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all your flesh. See, because when you are upset, angry, worrying, bitter, resentful, and all of those things, it affects your health. And they now know that they can actually measure how your brain puts out toxic hormones with evil thoughts. Quite a thing. Okay, so, you know, the book of Proverbs has been right all along. Okay. Verse 23. Above all, guard the door of your mind. Could also be heart, but mind, with diligence. See, that is the whole central thing with conversion, with behavior, with changing, with growing, with overcoming through the washing of the water by the word. For out of it are the issues of life. Now for us, that's sure true with eternal life, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and devious lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways shall be established. So now we have, with Proverbs 16, commit all your works to the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Here we have it here. Watch where you're going, guard the door of your mind, and all your ways will be established. And how are we to go? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And none come to the Father except through me. All right. Now then, let's also see some other things. What we need to do, because this involves prayer. This involves yielding to God. Now let's come to 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. Here's what we do. Here's how we do it. Here's a promise. You have trouble? You know, what was that movie? I forget. The Music Man, I think it was. There's trouble in River City. And at that time, they had a terrible, evil pool table down there. That shows you how times have changed, okay? All right. Now, let's pick it up here. 1 John, the first chapter. Now, here's the key. Let's begin right here in verse 6. Because, see, our fellowship with God is the key to all of this. And that is the spiritual power that comes from God. Now, notice verse 6. If we proclaim that we have fellowship with him but are walking in darkness, we are lying to ourselves, and we are not practicing the truth. Now you see, if you're lying to yourself and every way is right in your own eyes, you're deceiving yourself. But what does it say about the heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So here, conversion is a miracle because it's taking you from that aspect of living the way that the carnal mind is to having your mind perfected through the Spirit of God. And there are things that we need to do as we're led of the Holy Spirit and through prayer and through study, all of it combined together. It's just like a perfect recipe for a perfect whatever you're going to make. You've got to have all the ingredients in it. You know how the brownie was first made? They forgot to put in the baking powder. And so rather than admit a mistake, they just said, well, this is a brownie, and put some frosting on it. Now, spiritually speaking, We need all the parts of the Word of God and the Spirit of God put together. So here's how we start. However, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His own Son, cleanses us from all sin. So that's how we have our hearts cleansed. Purify your hearts, you double-minded, as we started out, see? And this is through repentance. This is through confession to God, not to priest. Oh, by the way, I got an article. Boy, they've got a really slick thing now. Dolores told me about it. She saw it on the news, and someone sent me a news article about it. Did you know that you can have your sins forgiven on your iPhone? You can dial up your local padre and probably even see him. You have two-way pictures, you know. Father, I confess my sins. What are they, my son? Well, I did this and did that and did the other. Okay, you do 20 Hail Marys and 30 Our Fathers and send in $5 to the parish. And your sins are forgiven. See? Okay, thanks, Father. Till next time. No, that's not the way it's going to be. You're not going to connect with God on your iPhone. You connect with God on your knees and praying to Him. He hears you. And also, another side that they have already discovered, which is this. When people pray, a certain spot in their brain is activated. Then we have the Holy Spirit with us, which conveys all these things to God and helps clean out all of the riffraff that we have in our mind that doesn't need to go to God, and actually conveys it to God directly in a language that the Holy Spirit converts our thoughts to go to God. So we've got all the help in the world. Okay. So here's what we do, you see. Cleanses us from all sin. If we say we do not have sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now notice, if you say you have fellowship with Him, verse 6, but you're walking in darkness, you're lying to yourself. Verse 8 says, if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself. And the truth is not in us, in verse 8 and in verse 6, we're not practicing the truth. So you see how the deception takes us away. Now here it is, verse 9. Here is the thing. If we confess our sins, and what did Jesus say? All sin shall be forgiven, the sons of men, except the sin of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. All sin against the Son will be forgiven. All blasphemy against the Son will be forgiven. See? All sin will be forgiven if what? Verse 9. If we confess our sins, and that is to God. Now, that doesn't come by an iPhone. That comes by knee power and yielding to God. See? He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, cleansing of the washing of the water of the Word. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. I mean, I love John because it's just like the Proverbs. Right, wrong, good and evil. I mean, you know, no middle ground here. See? Just the truth. Okay. So Proverbs there tells us what we need to do. Okay. This shows us how we do it. Now, let's come to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Just to show us what God has given to us with his Spirit. And how then we can bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ. Right, let's pick it up here in verse 7, 2 Timothy 1. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. And it says there in Romans 8, unto bondage again. But of power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God, the power of the truth, the strength to change, but of power and of love and of sound mindedness, so that we can, through the Spirit of God, control our minds. Now, let's see what we have to do. See, come to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and let's look how we need to examine our lives, see what we need to change, and ask God to cleanse us with the washing of the water by the Word. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Okay? Ephesians 4, let's pick it up here in verse 22. Now, the washing of the water of the Word does this for us concerning our past behavior and how those thoughts and those ways can still come in and cause us problems. Okay? Verse 22, that concerning your former conduct that you put off the old man. And that's something you do day by day, bit by bit, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It is a renewal, a changing that God does within. Now, we're going to see it's going to involve also forgiveness and forgetfulness. To ask God to forgive and to ask God to take the thoughts from us. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which according to God is created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So what God is doing with us, with the washing of the water of the Word, he is making us like him. He is creating in us. See? Hold your place here and come back to chapter 2, just across the page. Okay? Okay, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. See? Ephesians 4 tells us what we are to do. Ephesians 2 tells us what God is doing. For we are his workmanship. Because anything that takes place to mold our minds and change our thoughts through the Spirit of God is the work of God. It's not what we can do, but only what God can do, see? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, and remember, commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. You having trouble bringing your thoughts into captivity? That's how to do it, right here. Under the good works that God ordained beforehand in order that we might walk in them. Now come back over here to chapter 4 and let's see how we do it. Therefore, let each one put away lies, because the carnal mind is deceitful. And it's kind of an automatic response. In order to protect the self, you lie before you even know what comes out of your mouth, right? Even as little children, right? Yes. And speak the truth with his neighbor, because we're members of one another. Now then, here's a real trick. When you become angry, do not sin. And there are scriptures in the Proverbs which says, don't keep company with an angry man or a furious man or a man who rages, lest you become like him. See? Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, this is important, because there are a lot of things we need to do. What starts the day? Sundown, right? Okay. Don't drag in the problems into a new day. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath or your anger or any of these things, because it's going to affect a very important part of your life, which is sleep. Okay? You know what that's like? I know what that is like. I've spent nights tossing and turning, thinking and worrying. Sooner or later, you get worn out. See? And sometimes you get so wound up in it, you can't get your mind to turn off. So that's why you have to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, I tried to make an acronym of things that we need to work on. It was a little difficult to do, but I'll tell you what I came up with. Now, there's seven characteristics. There are seven characteristics. Guilt. You have a guilt complex, or you feel guilty because of something. Resentment, anger, and bitterness. And all of those things you can study in the Proverbs. Has a lot to do with how we think and react. So that makes the word grab. G-R-A-B, guilt. Put all guilt feelings on Christ because he died for you. If it's something you have no control over, don't feel guilty because you're not the one who has done it. You know, fathers and mothers get guilty because their children do things, and it's the children who have done it, not them. So don't take guilt on yourself. Resentment. Resentment comes when you don't get your way. Or resentment comes when someone does something to you and you let it bug you. Anger. Anger is easy to come by. Everybody has it. See? But all of these things, what I'm talking about, don't let it control your mind. Because God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound mindedness, and we can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Same way with bitterness. Right here in Ephesians 4, he talks about a couple of these things. So let's read on. Okay? Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil, because all of these things then can lead to where Satan can take advantage of you with one of his fiery missiles. Let the one who stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor with his hands, working at what is good, so that he may impart something to the one who has need. Do not let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth. How's that for a challenge? Yes. But that which is good and needful for edification, that it may give grace to those who hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by which you have been sealed for the day of redemption. Now, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? By not letting the Holy Spirit of God wash you with the washing of the water of the Word, and not repenting, not going to God to control your mind. See? So if you do all of these things, wouldn't it be nice to have all of these things lifted from you, whatever ones you have? I remember talking to a person who was just overcome with emotion and grief, self-condemnation and bitterness and anger. And so in praying for her, I just asked God to cast out the spirit or the attitude, see, of those things. And then I also instructed her, very similar to do, right here. See? Okay? Notice, verse 31, let all bitterness, so we can put resentment and bitterness together here, let all bitterness and indignation and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be removed from you together with all malice. How? By the washing of the water of the word. So you might want to write this down, G-R-A-B, guilt, resentment, anger, bitterness. Now there are a few more things that are left that we need to get rid of too. So I had to work hard on this next word for an acronym with this. And it is pity, that is self-pity, hatred, envy, and worry. So the acronym for this is PHEW, P-H-E-W. Pity, hatred, envy, worry. So grab, phew. Okay, that's the best I can do. You know, everybody wants an acronym to remember it. And so I'm sitting there. It took me about 35 or 40 minutes to come up with that. You know, it was almost like a word puzzle. You know, okay. So take any of these that you might see in you, and they might come and go periodically with you. But ask God to help you and cleanse your mind. You know, there are some people who are just angry at others, and even the sight of them sends them into a fit. See? Well, if that does it to you, how's the Holy Spirit working in your life? Take it to God and ask God to help you. You can overcome it. You can overcome it with no problem. You may have to work at it. May have to continually pray about it until it's gone. See? But God will take care of it for you. All right, now let's look at something that's important for us to do here. Okay. Let's see how prayer is involved with this. Let's come to Mark, the 11th chapter. Prayer and forgiveness. Not only forgiveness to you from God the Father in Jesus Christ, but your forgiveness to others. Remember, what did Jesus say concerning our enemies? He says, love your enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. See? You can pray for them. Maybe God would convert them. Wouldn't that be amazing, huh? See? If not, you can do the prayers I mentioned before of the rabbi and fiddler on the roof. Hey, rabbi, what is a prayer for the czar? May God keep him far away from us. Okay? Now, this has to do with the cursing of the fig tree. Let's pick it up here in verse 20 when they came by in the morning. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, look, master, the fig tree that you cursed has dried up. Notice Jesus' answer. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith from God. Now, in the Greek, it's a little more specific. It is have the faith of God. Well, it can only come from God, see? For truly I say to you, whoever shall say to this mountain, be taken away and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that which he said will take place, he shall have whatever he shall say. Now let me tell you something that is harder to move than a mountain. Right there, that carnal mind. This is a greater challenge than moving a mountain. Now, if we need a mountain moved, God will do it. But we need our minds converted more than moving mountains, because just think how vain we would be if we move mountains and just, you know, move that mountain, move this mountain, move the other mountain, you know. No good. Now, here's the point of what he's making, verse 24. For this reason I say to you, all things that you ask when you are praying, believe that you will receive them, and they shall be given to you. We're not to pray to move mountains. We're to pray in faith the things that we need. And a thing we need is our minds cleansed with the washing of the water of the Word, God's laws written in our hearts and in our minds, have our thoughts established according to the Word of God. Do not get carried away with grab few, okay, with guilt and resentment, anger, bitterness, pity, hatred, envy, and worry. Ask. Now, then he tells us something else which is important. This is essential concerning prayer and our relationship with God and carrying through with the washing of the water of the Word. But when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, now that's very inclusive, isn't it? Anything against anyone, forgive. Now, when that came up again later on, Peter asked Jesus, if my brother sin against me, how often should I forgive him? Seven times? Jesus said, no, not until seven times, but to seven times 70. 490. See, this is why you've heard me say many times, and always remember this, as long as there is life, there is hope. Regardless of what a person has gone through, as long as there's life, there is hope. And God can reach down if they're willing to repent and call them. But the first step in all of that is coming to the absolute knowledge and conclusion and conviction and shame that your life has been a mess and only God can straighten it out. Now, concerning others, forgive. Now, if Jesus can be on the cross and say, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, were not those the enemies? Yes. Now, here's the reason. So that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your offenses. Oh, we all want to have our sins forgiven. See? Now, that's the bargain that Jesus said. For if you do not forgive, and we can put in there, neither will you forget. Because the lack of forgiving displays a remembering of. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your offenses. Now, the book of Matthew, chapter 18, the last verse there says, if you do not forgive from your heart. See, so that's important. Now, that comes with the washing of the water of the Word, too. What if you have something that is very difficult for you to forgive? And it's very difficult for you to say, oh, Father, forgive this. It's a terrible situation. Then you have to pray and ask God to help you to have the understanding of why you need to forgive. Then you need to take it one step further. Let's come here to Philippians, the third chapter. Need to take it one step further. Not only do you need to forgive, you need to forget, but learn the lesson. Philippians 3. Okay. Let's begin right here in verse 1 because this is very important, the whole chapter here. And remember, that's right after saying here in Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the goal of the washing of the water by the Word. See? Okay. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Indeed, for me to write the same thing to you is not troublesome, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. That's just like saying, you know, guard the door of your mind. Beware of evil workers. beware of the concision. That's a circumcision party. For we are the circumcision because, you see, we have had our hearts circumcised through the receiving of the Holy Spirit of God. And our hearts and our minds are to be changed and converted, and that is something that is an ongoing process all the time. For we are the circumcision who serve God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and do not trust in the flesh. See, because all of the things from grab few are trusting in the thoughts of the flesh, the carnal mind, right? Yes. For though I might also have reason to trust in the flesh, if any other thinks he has cause to trust in the flesh, I have much more. So he relates some of them. Then we will see how he considers those things. Circumcised the eighth day, right on time, by a rabbi. Of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, with respect to law, a Pharisee. With respect to zeal, persecuting the church, with respect to righteousness that is in the law, blameless. Commended by the high priest for his good, diligent work. Yet the things that were gained to me. Now notice how he puts the perspective in this. You can tell by what he said here that he learned a lesson of every one of these things, but he wasn't reliving them. We'll see it here in just a minute. Yet the things that were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. That's what baptism is all about. You die in that watery grave. Commit yourself in the covenant relationship with God. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung. That's how he looked at him. Greek word there is skubala. That I may gain Christ and may be found in him. This is the goal. This is how we need to look at things, you see. Not having my own righteousness, which is derived from law, but the righteousness which is by the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God that is based on faith, that he's writing in our hearts and our minds his laws and his commandments in the Spirit, so we obey in the Spirit, you see. That I may know him. Now notice what he's reaching to. That way you're not stuck in the trap of all of these carnal reactions. You're continually reaching toward what God wants in everything, see. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? Because he understood that, what that was, when he was persecuting and causing Christians to be killed at his command. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. See, that is the goal. Our growth and overcoming between now and then is the important thing. Things in this world, we could use, they're fine, they're good. God wants us to have them and use them, but not have that between us and God. Always have your mind on the resurrection. You know, like I said in one of the church at home, and Randy did a good job on this, I mentioned that, you know, when you're at your worst, when you first get up in the morning and you have your bad breath and your hair is all messed up, and you look in the mirror and you see more wrinkles and all of this sort of thing, I said, remember, God loves you. So what he did, he put a camera in his bathroom and he came up, showed kind of his distorted face looking into a mirror. Remember, God loves you. See? God is looking to your heart, your spirit, your mind. This body, though we wished it wasn't the way it is going to be changed. And for that day, we can all say hallelujah, and we will. We will be there to say it. Okay? Now notice. Notice his attitude, and this is the attitude of always going forward and not getting stuck down with grab few. Okay? Not as though I had already attained or have already been perfected, but I'm striving. That's what we do. Washing of the water of the word. Growing, praying, studying, overcoming, living, growing, praying, studying, overcoming, you see. But I'm striving so that I may also lay hold on that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Nice way of putting it, isn't it? That reminds me of the saying, you grab them by the scuff of the collar, you know, when you're trying to catch a little kid who's doing something, you grab him. Well, Christ laid a hold of us so that we can become like him. Okay? Brethren, verse 13, this is important. This is the key thing. See? This is what we need to do. Now, it was very interesting when I was watching a special on the mind. The place where our memory is has two functions. To remember and to forget. Because we can't possibly remember everything. Our minds couldn't handle it. So it's also designed to filter some things out and forget them. Now, with God's Spirit, with the washing of the water of the Word, we can forget them. And if they keep coming back, then ask God to cleanse it. Keep going to God until it doesn't come back. Only in the form of remembering the lesson. Okay? Brethren, I do not count myself as having obtained, but this one thing I do. I just listed all of his sins right here, didn't he? All the things that he went through. This one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind through the washing of the water of the word. You can forget the things that are behind. Those were all done. Yesterday is gone and over with. So was last week, so was last month, so was last year, so was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Or you go clear back into your childhood where you may have had some traumatic thing in your life that is still there in your mind, and you need to pray and ask God through the washing of the water of the word to wipe that away. Why should you carry that with you all your life? See? Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are ahead. So it's the same thing. Put out the sin, put in righteousness. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Guard the door of your mind with all diligence. See? And reaching forth to the things that are ahead, I press. Always working, always doing, always going ahead, see, toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He always kept that in mind. Now, if we do this in our prayers daily, just think how then God can cleanse us and help us and guide us. Fantastic thing, see? Now, notice what he says. Verse 15 is a key. And you think, oh, well, the Apostle Paul can do that. He was an apostle. Little old me. Man, you don't know what my life has been. Yes, God knows what our lives have been. From the instant we were conceived. Okay? So then, let as many as be perfect be of this mind. See? Forgetting the things that are behind. Let the washing of the water of the word change and convert, you see. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, now isn't that a blessing? God will reveal even this to you. So even some of the thoughts of the past that need to be repented of and cleansed out, Who's revealing that to you? God through the Spirit. So those things can be cleansed away. God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, in regard to that which we have attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. So there it is. Then he talks about those who have left and so forth, but come down here to verse 20, because here's the goal. And so when you get up in the morning and look and see that you've lost a little more hair, or it's more gray, or you have more wrinkles, or it's hard to open your eyes, you know, and I tell you the routine that a lot of us go through in the morning to get up to clear our throat, to blow our nose, to clean out our eyes, to clean our ears, you know, and all of that sort of thing, you know. Remember, God loves you. God has called you. And when you look and see this old physical body shriveling up and going to, you know, remember, Paul said, I have run the course, I have finished the race. And now there's a crown of glory laid up for me, crown of righteousness, and also for all those who love his appearing. Okay? All right. Verse 20. But for us, the commonwealth of God, and that's interesting. That is politeia in the Greek, meaning politics. See, you hate the politics of this world? You hate what the politicians are doing? You're going to replace them. Isn't that a great solution? Yes. For the commonwealth of God exists in heaven. Christ is going to bring it. From where also we are waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's what he's going to do. Who will transform our vile bodies. And our bodies indeed are vile. I mean, it's amazing how much inside God conceals from having to be outside. Huh? Need I be descriptive? No. And you know how vile it is when you get really, really, really sick. And then all the vileness comes up and you feel miserable and all of that. Who will transform our vile bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Now that's a deal, isn't it? Yes, indeed. According to the inner working of his own power, whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. So that's how you let the washing of the water by the word be an active, daily, ongoing thing to convert you, to change you, to let God create his character within you. Learn the lessons of the past. Don't dwell on them. Forgive, forget, and go forward.